is overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are healing. Yes, you are carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He is overcome. Yes, he is overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you
defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God.
Hey,
you are the God, the breakthrough.
We're singing out loud.
Breakthrough, yeah. Breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do, I look to you. Breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break when I pray through.
I'm gonna praise you. You are the God.
You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough.
Oh, when I can't see
my way through,
I really don't know what to do. I look to you. Breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through.
Come on.
Strongholds break when I pray through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough.
Oh, yes, He is. Come on, if you believe in that tonight, I want you to raise your hands and begin to praise the God of the breakthrough. Someone here is looking for a breakthrough. Many of you have been through the breakthrough, and you need to testify how good God is on either side of that breakthrough to help someone through. Come on, let's praise Him again.
I need breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in the struggle. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift, glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, struggle. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough
when I lift, glorify His name.
You are,
come on, sing that again, church.
You are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness and in my struggle. Worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift, glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God. You are,
come on,
the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough.
When I can't see,
when I can't see my way through,
I really don't know what to do. I look to you. Breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout. Strongholds break when I pray through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough.
Hallelujah. Come on, give Him a mighty praise.
Were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High, the hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you
name it is. What a wonderful name.
Cause death could not hold you, but there torn before you, you silenced the ghost of sin and the rain. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You
to that name, would you please? That's good. Now let's lift our voices and praise that name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can train a monkey to clap, but only God's people can praise. Go ahead. Begin to open your mouth and praise Him. There's power in your praise. There's power in vocalizing adoration to God. It's His house, not yours. You ought to praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. This wasn't built for entertainment. It was built for praise. This wasn't built for spectators. It was for participators. Come on. How many want to get in the river? I want to get involved in the power. I want to feel and sense the mighty life-changing freedom in the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Everybody at home, join us right here. Everybody, begin to magnify the Lord. If there'll be a unified praise, there'll be a unified breakthrough today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we adore you. There's no God like you. We've sung it, but we believe it, that your only response that we can give is praise. Come on. Honor and glory to our God forever and ever and ever. Amen. Come on, somebody say a good amen and thank God for sending his son, Jesus, to this precious planet to do a good work in our lives. Now let's ask the Holy Spirit, really, to not only speak to us, but God would use us so that everybody that you're around, not only here, but everybody you're around this week, is going to be changed because you are here tonight. Wouldn't that be awesome if somebody's life was different because you came to church on Sunday night? That sounds to me like it'd be worth going to, doesn't it, to you? Holy Spirit, put a fresh anointing upon every single one of us. We're here to receive more freedom. We're here to receive more healing. We're here to receive more faith. But God, it's not just for us. We're hungry because we know people that are hungry. We're hungry because we know people that are in need. We're hungry because we know people that need salvation and deliverance and strength. And so, God, what you're going to do in them, you're going to start in us tonight. Amen. And I give you thanks in advance for that in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. I believe God's going to do it. Hey, look, it's Sunday night. It's a bit of a, it's more family. We love those Sunday morning folks, but the Sunday night folks, how many know this is the church that Jesus Christ died for? This is the church that Jesus died for. Amen. Amen. There are many raptures, but how many know the Sunday night one's going up in the first one right there? So would you turn around, just shake hands with four or five folks. I mean, be friendly. Just say, I'm so glad to see you. Just say whatever comes to your mind. Then you can be seated. Whatever comes to your mind. Thank you, Joel. Perfect. Thank you, buddy. Praise God. Praise God. While they're saying hello to each other, let me say hello to everybody that's watching online. Thank you for joining us. They always do that to me to make me dizzy. But thank you for joining us online. I trust that as soon as possible, you get to be with us here. We're having a fantastic summer, and it would be neat for us to meet you. And how many know that your neighbor's a lot better looking in person than they are online? Okay, not everybody said that's true. And not everybody was wrong, but we're glad that you're here. Come on, let's welcome all of our friends from the live stream. I'd ask you to do me a favor tonight just as a way to say thank you and a way to promote. This week, Kelsey installed the brand new cameras, and I got to see what the broadcast looks like, and wow, I mean, wow, an incredible improvement. So first of all, thank you. Second, it'd be appropriate for you to take your phone out and share the live stream with all of your friends. And I found that the camera actually gives me 30% more hair than usual. So every dime was worth it when we put into that. But again, thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to have a wonderful night together. But let me just mention, in 2 weeks, Tiff Shuttlesworth is going to be here with us on July the 8th. And it's important that you make plans because he's going to be doing another day of prophecy teaching for us. And every time he comes, you do a great job bringing unsaved people. And we're all just, our faith is increased because we know that we're right on the time clock of God right now. And there are some things that we need to get understood and very clear so that we can know how to live in these days victoriously. How about an amen for that? Amen. So, ushers, we're going to receive the offering at the end of the service tonight. I'm sorry, I didn't communicate that to anybody. But if you would, at the end of the service, help us, that would be a tremendous help. Did you enjoy Johnny Rowlett here this morning, ministering in song and inspiring us? Tonight, he's going to preach. He's going to sing and preach. And we got him a real manly stand here tonight. Now, if he breaks this one, I'm going to bow. I'm going to get right down on my knees and say, you are the man, because this is one manly pulpit right here. Don't try too hard. It'll hurt you, but this is a good pulpit. We love it. They didn't get to see you, and your husband's off being awful good to you, Gail, but would you mind standing and let these people see what Johnny's better half looks like, if you would? They could recognize you. That's good. They didn't see you over there. Over there. They didn't see you over there. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Good job. You're welcome. Amen. He couldn't do that. But there's a product table out there, and I wish you'd take everything that they've got home with you. These folks are precious, precious people. They're in this thing 100%. 100% commitment to bring the gospel wherever God opens doors. They're heading to Prince Edward Island tomorrow, or tomorrow, Tuesday, to several meetings up there. And I've never heard of anybody traveling to Prince Edward Island to minister, honestly. As close as we are, I don't know one person ministering in Prince Edward Island. That's more reason to go. That's what I think. Come on, let Johnny Rowlett know that you love him. Welcome to the stage here. I think this one's working.
Look at this. Who built this for you? This is amazing. Good evening. How are y'all doing? Okay, this is a talk back church. Y'all can talk back. How are you doing? I know you expected me to talk Texan to you, so I'm just going to do that first. Man, God's got so much. Let's just go right into this song. I want to share this with you first before we do anything else. I just felt it necessary to start with this song tonight. Something you would might know and can sing along with me on.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I've made mistakes, I've often slipped. I'm just common, flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the course, I was on his line. Jesus, oh, the look of love was on his face. Thorns were on his head. The blood was on his scarlet robe, and it was stained crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time when he was on the cross. Come on, we were on his mind. Come on, sing this with me. Oh, he knew me. Yet he loved me. He whose glory makes all the heaven shine. I'm so unworthy of such mercy. 'Cause when he was on the cross, yes, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Father, we just thank you that that is the truth. We thank you that you are the truth. And we thank you that we are able and grateful to be in your presence tonight. And Father, we just thank you that chains will be broken tonight and we can rest in your presence and leave here better than we came in. Father, we just say with our mouths and believe in our hearts that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we stand amazed at you. And we are so completely grateful. Amen? Grateful. Grateful. You know, I was looking at your backdrop to your words, and it's interesting to me on your, well, I don't know what they call that, where you put your words up over the mountains over there. I'm like, do y'all pay for that? Because you really don't need that. All you got to do is put a camera outside here and just film. I mean, this is the most, this is God's country. Do you realize that? How we went to Bar Harbor, or I don't know how y'all say it. How do you say it? Is that right? Bahaba. That's wrong. That's wrong. I just want you to know that's wrong. And anyhow, we enjoyed it so much, and just the beauty of this area. It's one of my favorite places in the country, just this area. And you are so blessed to live here and still have this kind of church. Most people have to choose one or the other. They either go to a good church and live in an ugly city or... No, that's not true. Okay, sorry. You're blessed. I wanted to talk real quickly. I wanted to kind of tell you about who we are a little bit before I get started this evening. How I got started, I was a pro rodeo chaplain, and that's how we kind of got started in the ministry. We go to pro rodeos all across America, and we put on cowboy church for the professional traveling cowboys. I know that's weird to you, but that's a real thing. Guys really, for a profession, get on bulls and broncs and rope, and that's what I used to do. So instead of myself getting kicked and bucked and fall on the ground, I get to go rescue those guys that do that. But I rescue them with the word. What I found is that it's such a need, because these cowboys, when we're trying to reach them, they have such a wonderful rudimentary faith. You know, when you're really trying to reach them, it's so interesting where they really are. Like, I had one guy, I'll give you an example. We have this thing called a power-up before the bull ride, right? And all that is I'm going to be behind the chutes 15 minutes before the bull ride. I'm going to read a scripture, and we're going to pray for you. And then we got some Bibles we'll hand out for you afterwards. And one night I'm in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I'm standing behind the chutes, Cody, Wyoming, and I'm back there, and I'm behind the chutes, and usually two or three cowboys showed up. Well, this night I was praying, and I looked up, and there were like 37 cowboys kneeling in the dirt praying. And I was like, praise God. I come up out of there, and I'm so excited, and I'm handing them all out, Bibles and everything, and I'm so, I mean, it's finally starting to hit with these guys, right? And I see one of them cowboys take the Bible that I gave them, and they walked over and started rubbing it on their bull. I'm like, well, we got a long way to go. We got a long way to go. It's not a lucky charm, right? That's not what this is for. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, I thought we had a breakthrough. He said, Johnny, you would pray before you got on a 2,000-pound bull too, wouldn't you? So, you know, you have to break through the religiosity or the mindset and really teach them something and get down deep on the inside of them and birth something in them to build a true relationship with me. That's what I felt like God was saying. And one of the ways that I kind of felt like we could do that is through music. I really felt like, okay, how many of y'all like country music? All right. Well, you can imagine, cowboys really like country music. Did you not raise your hand? Okay. All right, brother. I'm coming after you, boy. But I'll tell you what, right now. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. We like yours. I've never heard that said before. No, I feel you. I understand. I want you to know country music is the number one form of music in the country and in the world, really. And what's so interesting is, how many of y'all know somebody that likes country music? Right? How many of you know somebody that likes country music and they're listening to country music where they're losing their dog and their house and their wife and their biscuits and their gravy? Right? How many of you know that if you could get some music that they like and they have the word of God in it, that it might minister life to them even while they drove or while they got ready in the morning, right? So I began to think, okay, if I could get this music in their CD players when they're going from rodeo to rodeo, it might minister life to them, and we might be getting the word to them, you know, this way. And that has taken off. And I just want you to know, that's why we do what we do. I'm not here trying to convert you. I mean, I am. But not, especially you. I'm just kidding. Not to country music. I just think this is a great tool. And I just want you to be able to get some of this and take it home. Take it to your friends. Take it to your family. Especially you. You need this. You need that, bless God. And where is that gentleman in the back that came to me there he is. Okay, I can't throw. I could, but the pastor's sitting right here. I can't do that. So somebody can hand that to him. Okay, I'll just walk back there. No, that's right. Oh, this is you too. I'll get one to you too. Thank you. Look, it was him too. All right. So that's how we kind of got started in this thing, and then it has actually taken off on us. And if I go back even further than that, it all started with my mother. It all started with a mom that was a praying mom, and she believed things for me way back when. She'd pray things over me even when my circumstance did not dictate that. My life was, I was an abused young man, physically, emotionally abused. And my mother, I could hear my mother in the bedroom crying and praying for my father, even after him hurting me. As a young man, I remember that. And what was so powerful, I used to get so mad at her for praying for him. But then in 1979, my father came home from church. My mother, I guess, had taken him to church, and he came home, and he ran to me. When he ran to me, I cowered, and he picked me up, and he said, "I found Jesus." And he started yelling and holding me up, and he said, "I'll never hurt you again." And the man that was my worst enemy turned into my greatest hero. And it's all because of a mother that was praying. And I always leaned on her throughout all the years. And I would take every issue to her. And I remember specifically, I remember one night I went to her with a problem with some girl or something like that. And she said, "Johnny, you know, remember that Bible I bought you? It ain't going to read itself." So we wrote this song here. King James on the table, I don't read it though I'm able, just leave it there wide open for my soul. John 3:16, I light a neon green, my grandma left her marks years ago. She said the streets of gold will lead you out of hell. There ain't no other road, no nothing else. It's all there in black and red, ready to hell. But a Bible don't read itself. No, a Bible don't read itself. It can light your path, but it can't take your stand. No, a Bible don't read itself. It can show you right when you got nothing left. It'll give you peace like you have never felt. No, a Bible don't read itself. I got tired of the labels, and I sat down at the table and shuffled through the pages aimlessly. I saw that I was lost, and I learned who paid the cost, and lived my life and found eternity. The streets of gold, they led me away from hell, and then and there I truly found myself. It's all there in black and red, ready
down. But a Bible don't read itself. No, a Bible don't read itself. It can shut your pipe, but it can't sit your pants. No, a Bible don't read itself. It can show you right when you've got nothing left. And it'll give you peace like you have never felt. No, a Bible don't read itself. King James on the table, I don't read it though I'm able. Just leave it there wide open for my soul. John 3:16, I'd light it neon green. My grandma left her mark years ago.
I'm going to do another song, and then I want to get into a really amazing word that I'm really excited about this evening, and I hope it ministers to you. I was thinking about, you know, so I walked in with this ball cap on, and somebody's like, where's your hat? And I'm actually used to somebody saying, you need to take your hat off. That's what I'm used to. I wanted to kind of tell y'all the story about why I wear a hat. It's not to cover up the bald place. That's not true. Although there is starting to be that. That's not the reason. Okay, that's enough. Where's that camera? Okay, so the purpose, the reason behind it is one night I was an outreach pastor of a church in Montana, and I had a 70-acre ranch. I was raising paint horses, and I had a bunch of guys at my house, and we were fixing fence for my horses. And I had about 7 cowboys out there, and I had fed them lunch, and then, it kind of took us longer to work on the fence than we were supposed to, and it came time for just getting time for church Sunday night. And I just asked the guys, I said, hey, do you want to go to church with me? Like, no, we got our hats on. I'm like, hey, man, don't worry about it. You're welcome at our church. You just come on in, don't worry about it. Well, we're sweaty. Hey, man, don't worry about it. You're welcome. It's a come-as-you-are kind of church. Come on in. And I got all 7 of them cowboys to come to church with me. It was a really cool thing. And I set them on the front row, me and these 7 real, true, sweaty, hat-wearing cowboys. And don't you know somebody in our church walked up and said, sir, can I help you with your hat? Now, you got to remember, I am the outreach pastor of this church. And they went past me, who I was wearing a hat as well, to make them feel more comfortable. And he said to them, sir, can I help you? Guys, can I help you with your hats? And I leaned back. I said, real kindly, I saw it was a mistake. I said, no, they're okay. They're with me. They're good. Don't worry about it. And he got a little more firm. He looked at me and looked back over and said, I said, can I help you with your hats? And I turned around, I said, man, you need to drop this. And he said, I'm going to take their hats or they're going to leave. And I stood up and I grabbed him by his arm, sweetly. And I carried him to the back of the auditorium. And I spoke into his ear and I told him these things. It took me everything to get these guys to get here tonight. And you're not going to come in with your crazy religiousness self and destroy a relationship that I've been working on for years to get these guys to come in here. I want you to know that the reason I wear this hat is because I have a covenant with your pastor, and I'm representing his heart and the staff of this church and letting you know that if you're here for the first time, you're welcome here. I have this song. It's kind of a funny
song. I like to mess with religious people. You know, I know that I'm deep in theology. I love doctrine. I'm all those things, but I can't stand the word religion. I just gets on me. I don't understand why it bothers me so much, but it does. And we've had some major success at the country radio stations across the country, The things that they keep coming back with me, they use the same old religious terminology when they talk to me, and it just gets on me. I don't like it. So I'm like, I got to get a song to these cats that is going to mess with them a little bit. And I started thinking about it like this. This is a true story. I really think that the devil messed up when it came to me. I think if I was the devil and my wife, y'all know, okay. I believe that if I was the devil, I believe that the way that I would have dealt with Johnny Rowlett is I would have just left me be. Do you know what I mean? I was messed up all by myself. I was all as in bondage as a guy could get. And I was definitely going there all by myself. I didn't need no help from him. I would go to church on Sundays, and then the rest of the week I'd act and be out and doing things I shouldn't be doing, but I'd sure be there on church on Sundays and faking it with the best of them. And there's something happened to me that I found out, though, is that he doesn't leave well enough alone. He just kept on pushing. He kept on pressing. He kept on stomping on me. He kept on trying to push me in a corner. He stepped on just, he just didn't quit. And how many of you know there's only so far down you can go? And when this cowboy got down to that point, the only thing I could do was stand up. And I decided when I stood up that I'm going to stand all the way up and I'm going to make him sorry for ever messing with me. So we wrote this song, and it's theologically, the title is incorrect, but it's just because I like to mess with people. It's called How the Devil Led Me to Jesus. Let's listen to this song. I never really paid attention, sitting there on Sunday morning, till I found myself helplessly caught up in his sermon about who he was before he was the preacher we know now, about the life that he almost lost and the one that he found. He said, I was at the gates of hell with a bottle in my hand. I could hear the demons laughing, trying to pull me deeper in. But I felt the fire and I had to turn around. Yeah, there's nowhere else to go from that far down. That's how the devil led me to Jesus. That's how the depths of hell saved my soul. Only God could have found all my pieces to make this broken man whole. I guess the chains that bind us can free us. That's how the devil led me to Jesus. He said, I know that it sounds crazy, but believe me, it's the truth. He took me down a path so dark there was nothing I could do but just look up toward the heaven and pray for a shot of grace. So I found me a spot there in the flames and bowed my head and prayed. I bet he still wonders where his plan went south. He only has himself to blame. He's the reason I'm here now. I felt the fire and I had to turn around. Yeah, there's nowhere else to go from that far down. That's how the devil led me to Jesus.
That's how the depths of hell saved my soul. Only God could have found all my pieces to make this broken man whole. I guess the chains that bind us can free us. That's how the devil led me to Jesus. Yeah, the chains that bind us can free us. That's how the devil led me to Jesus. Oh, and we praise you, Father.
Yes. I'm very aware of doctrinally that song is incorrect. I just want you to know this. The devil ain't never led me nowhere good. But my Father found me in my darkest, deepest despair. He came looking for me. I was the one. I just want you, you're not too far gone. You're not too lost. You're not too broken. You're not too hurt. You're not too messed up. He'll come down in the place that you thought you were hiding from him. And he can find you right in the middle of that place and take your life and take your mind and take your heart and rescue you and bring you to a new high place. I want you to know that the same God that did it for me, he's no respecter of man. He's in the same business for you as well. Amen. I want to kind of tell you a story, and I might do a song afterwards, but I want to lead this into the word tonight. This is a true story. The greatest lesson that I ever learned in my life, I learned from a police officer. Maybe some of y'all have not had that experience, but I learned from a police officer, and that is, I was grateful to live in Montana. In a time in the country when Montana had a wonderful lack of a law. I don't know, do you know this? In Montana at the time, there was something called no speed limit. Yeah. And I took full advantage of that. I was wonderfully unaware of how fast vehicles could go until I moved to Montana. It was great. It was wonderful. There was, however, something on the books that I was unaware of called reasonable and prudent. That's an interesting little thing that you got to remember that I didn't know that that was true. And how I found that out, I was coming back from a rodeo in southern Montana, heading back to Great Falls, and I wanted to get back to Great Falls before dark so I could put away the horses and all that kind of stuff. I had a 6-horse trailer fully loaded with 6 horses, water, hay, every kind of tack, saddles, every kind of thing. I think there were 2 stowaways on there, I'm not sure, but it was loaded down. And in this weighted trailer that I was pulling it with a 1-ton dually Ford pickup truck, power stroke diesel. So needless to say, I was hauling the mail coming home. We were doing about 90 miles an hour up the mountains. You can imagine what we were doing on the way back down, right? I put my pedal to the floor and did not lift the whole time. And I crest this mountaintop. And as I looked down in the valley, Barney Fife was standing in the valley. I'm talking about Barney Fife. I'm talking about 135 pounds dripping wet Barney Fife. I'm talking about 5'2" Barney Fife. I'm talking about bullet in his pocket Barney Fife. That's what I'm talking about. And that cat is standing in the middle of the road. He's not on the side of the road. Wait, he knew I was coming. Somebody told him. Somebody told Barney Fife. Here comes Johnny Rowlett thinking he's getting away with it. And I was not being reasonable, nor was I being prudent.
And I was coming on a crescent hill, and I see Barney Fife standing. And he wasn't just standing in the middle of the road. He was standing in the middle of the road like this. And for a second, for just a second, I'm staring like, what is that? What? And then I realize it's Barney Fife. And I'm like, this is honest, my honest response. Ah! That's what I did. And I slammed on the brakes with both feet. And that truck started screaming and screeching, and smoke started going everywhere. Haze going everywhere. Horses are screaming. Water's flapping everywhere. Flopping and flashing. I don't know what the word is, but it was happening. And it came, and I'm not joking, Barney Fife never one time moved. Not one time. Stood in his place. And I came to a screaming, screeching halt. Not more than 10 feet from him. And when I stopped, the smoke from the truck billowed out. And I lost track of him. And for a split second, I thought I'd done killed Barney Fife. I'm like, I killed Barney Fife. It was not a good moment. And all of a sudden, like in a movie, through I'm not joking, this is the greatest, oh my word. Through the smoke comes Barney Fife walking. He wasn't walking, he was sashaying. With his empty gun on his hip. And he walked up to me. I'm in a one-ton dually crew Ford Power Stroke diesel, 15 feet off the ground. You know what I'm talking about. He comes up and he goes, as cool as a cucumber, license and registration, please. And my whole body is like this. And I'm like, I almost killed you. What are you doing? He said, I said license and registration, please. And I realized something in that moment that changed my life forever. And I want to deliver it to you in a wonderful package this evening. I learned something that even though I had all of the GVW, gross vehicle weight, I had all of the power stroke diesel, one-ton truck, rah, rah, rah. He had authority. And his authority made my power come to a screaming, screeching halt. His authority made me recognize that he had something that I didn't have. See, when I saw, here's the first thing that you got to understand. The very first thing is that I was able to recognize his authority. I recognized not Barney Fife. It wasn't Barney Fife standing down there. It was that there was 10,000 men standing behind him. It's not that one person that was standing there. It was what he represented. It's the authority in which he, this is so powerful. I hope you can get this. The first thing I want you to know is that the enemy knows that you have authority over him. And his only objective is for you to never find out. I recognized as I crossed, it took me a minute to understand what was really going on. But when I saw him, it wasn't the stature of the man that I saw, nor was it the bullet that he was in his pocket or the weapon that he had on. It was the badge that he was covered under. And his covering of his authority made my power stop. He was able to speak to the thing, the circumstance that was heading directly at him with full power, coming to him to kill him, to steal from him, to destroy him. And he was able to stand in the middle of it and cease it, cause it to cease. See, that don't come from no rookie cop. There was something in his transition of him being on the force. It didn't just happen the next day. He had been serving long enough. and hearing the word long enough that at some point it transitioned from his mind to his heart, and he finally got a revelation of who he was. And when he got the revelation, he began to walk in that authority in a more substantial way. He could have easily waited for me to pass him and then gone and got me. I wish he had have. But then I wouldn't have got the lesson that I got. He fully recognized that my power had to come to a stop. What I want to speak to you tonight is that the authority that you walk under will cause any circumstance in any situation that is coming at you in life to have to cease. But more than that, I want to relay it in a way, I want to connect it to in a way that you may not have understood or really connected it before. And that is this. There's people in here tonight that are dealing with addiction of many shapes and forms. And can we please stop thinking of addiction as only one or two kind of things? There's so many levels of addiction. There's addiction of shopping. There's addiction of eating, right? There's addiction of needing to watch TV. I mean, we can be addicted to many things. But then not only addiction, I want to speak to circumstances in your life right now that you can just, right now, what I want you to do is in your mind, just visually think of something that's coming down your highway. Think of it right now that's impeding on your life. Something, maybe it's finances. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's some, I just want you, what if every or any situation that you can think of was that's coming down your highway, what if it was nothing more than a distraction sent by the enemy to keep you from looking to the Father? What if it's the whole point of that distraction is to make you focus on the problem and lose track of the promise? What if the sickness, and I'm not saying this is it, I'm not trying to create a theology around this. I'm just saying, what if? What if that thing that's attacking your body right now was nothing more than something to keep you focused on the problem and lose track of the promise? So as I started thinking about this, I want to go all the way back to something, and I want to teach you something just briefly, quickly, that I think has got to be a fundamental truth. I love this church, and I love the word that you sit under with your pastor. That message today, I will never forget it. He threw tissue on the floor. You're not going to forget that. So I know that you guys are privy to revelation knowledge. But what I want to do is I want to, from a cowboy's point of view, I want to share something so deep and make it so simple that we can have a foundational understanding of who you are and give you a revelation knowledge of the authority that you walk under and why. And I want you just to go back. Let's go to Genesis. Y'all know where Genesis is? You'd be surprised when I'm talking to cowboys. I really have to. It's at the beginning. For time's sake, I'm going to paraphrase some of this, and then we'll stop at one verse specifically. But what I want you to do is I want to picture these pictures in your mind. I just want you to get this understanding. The first thing that we see that God does is he goes and he, at Genesis 1, it says he begins to speak life. Now, let me just do a side note right here. God, when he speaks, it's always life. My mom used to always tell me, Johnny, if you're either, when you're speaking, it's either life or it's by default, it's death. Make sure that what comes out of your mouth and what comes out of your fingers on Facebook is either life or it's death. When God speaks, it's always creating life. Life. And he begins, when he begins to create this life, what he does is he creates three main sources of life. Say three main sources. He creates three main sources, and that is what? The heavens, right? Right? The waters, right? And then he creates the earth, the firma, the ground. Y'all with me? Those are three main sources. Say sources. Creates three main sources of life. And then what he does is he goes back and he begins to speak to the sources. If you'll notice the next scripture is what he says. He says, let the heavens bring forth the stars and the moon and the lesser light and the greater light. Remember that? He's speaking to the source. He already created the source, and then he's speaking to the source so that the source begins to create perpetual life. And he says, let the waters bring forth fish and weird, crazy, weird creatures. I don't know. I don't know how y'all can live so close to water. That freaks me out. Let the waters bring forth fish. And then he says, and let the earth bring forth trees and grass and cows and horses. Now we're talking my language, right? But you notice he's speaking to the sources, right? Are y'all with me? All right? So then what he does is then you can see it in verse 25, I think it's 26. He's looking at the sources. I want you to understand this. He is finished. It's a finished work. And he created life in those sources, and those sources are perpetually creating life. So in other words, God doesn't wake up every day and say, we need 4 billion more red ants in Texas, right? They're going to happen, right? Right? But then what he's doing is he begins to look at the sources for something special. Something that he can have fellowship with. Something he can walk with. Something he can talk with. Something he can have true relationship with. The whole reason he created the three main sources in the first place. He's wanting to create you. And I can just see him. I'm putting my own words to him, but I can just see him. He's looking to the three main sources, and he's like, no, the heavens, that's just not good enough. They're better than the stars. What I want is going to be better than the moon and the sun. And then he's looking to the waters. Definitely better. We're going to put lobsters in there. We don't need any people coming from there. And then he's looking at the earth, and he's like, you know, I could use some of that, but really, that's not the source that I want them to really be. So in verse 26, I think it's 26, somebody tell me if I'm wrong, he says this, then God said, let us bring forth man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Let us bring forth man. And so in other words, you didn't come from the three main sources. Your very source is the very being of God himself. He spoke to himself. Come on, that's better than your clapping right there. You're the very who you are, the very creative nature that you are, who you are as a being, didn't come from any of those three sources. You came from the spoken word of God himself. He took himself and he put it in you. So what he did then is he took a little bit of dirt, right? And he shaped it into a cavity of a man. But that piece of dirt had no life until he took himself as your real source. And he blew himself into the dirt. And that dirt stood up and began to worship. The dirt didn't stand up because of the cerebral vortex. The dirt stood up because the very breath of God gave the dirt life. We have somehow, some way, flipped this all around. And we're living like dirt. when really we're the very breath of God. Your source is not dirt. It's just a cavity. It's just a holder of who you really are. You are the actual spirit being blown of God, blown into dirt. You are the breath of God in dirt. Let me help you with something. There's white dirt, red dirt, yellow dirt, black dirt. Red dirt. But in the end, it's all just dirt. You ever notice a little boy crying, a little girl crying? Always got dirt. It's just dirt. And we lived our whole life focused on the dirt. Our whole focus, everything we do, you think about it. Just for a second, just contemplate this idea. You wake up in the morning and you take a shower and you clean the what? The dirt. You brush your dirt. Hopefully. You brush the dirt, right? You put deodorant on the dirt, hopefully. But we focus on the dirt. That's the first thing we do in the morning is we worry about the dirt. We worry about what everybody else sees. We worry about what we're presenting. It's our whole focus. You wouldn't leave the house dirty with your dirt being dirty, but you're leaving the house not feeding anything that is actually who you are, not building anything up with the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you, not feeding it, not washing it, not loving on it, not allowing it to take realm, not allowing it to take rule in your life, and you're just walking out worried about your dirt. Think about this. When stars die, what happens to them? They go back to their source. They turn back into gases and go back to their source. When fish die, what happens to them? They go in my stomach. That's what. They go back to their source, the waters, right? When trees die, when grass dies, what happens to them? They go back to their source. What happens when you die? Oh, little trick here, huh? Two things happen. Number one, the dirt goes back to its source, the dirt. But the very breath of God, the source that is God actually, himself, blown into dirt, is going back to its source. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Not because it's a terrible thing. It's not a day of horrible judgment. It's not a day of that we, God cannot wait to take these people and throw them in hell. That's not what we're preaching. That's not what we're teaching. We're trying to get to you. We're trying to reach you. We're crying out from the depths of our heart to reach you to say, you are God. You are God himself in a dirt capsule, and whether you believe it or receive it or want to believe it or not, you're going back to the Father. And there's only one question he's going to ask. We all know that, right? Did you receive the covering of my son's blood? I say that to bring us back to fruition of this one thing. If you understand your identity and understand who you really are, then it changes everything in the way you perceive life. And it changes everything in the way that you walk in and allow or disallow whatever's coming down your highway. God's looking for men and women to stop being rookie cops, to somehow understand that he gave you a badge, that you wear a badge. And that badge doesn't just represent you, it represents the blood of an innocent lamb that was shed for you. And that that Son of God that came to this earth in a human form lived a blameless life so that he could go and take the keys of life and death back from the enemy and release us out of the bondage and into the freedom that you're actually supposed to walk in. So get this. I'm going to close with this. I just want you to get this point right here. I'm going totally off script. I'm just speaking from my heart. So then we have this mentality that somehow we're less than. And all these things of earth are sent from Satan to somehow entrap us and keep us down. And so what we use all the time, and I've been in the addiction world, one of our ministry's heart, Gail's ministry, one of her hearts is faith-based rehabs all over this country. We're beginning to financially take care of them and support them. And what we hear all the time from them is the example of Job. And they're given the example that Satan came to God and asked for Job. And asked that he could get a hold of him. And so now there's this understanding, this misunderstanding of all these people that are struggling in life. And they somehow think that they deserve it or they should walk in it because Job had to do it. So apparently you have to do it. Let me teach you something that will release you of that mindset. That was before Jesus. And what Jesus did when he took the keys of life and death from Satan, what he literally did is send Satan's authority away and keep him out from ever being able or allowed to come into the presence of God ever again. Satan is defeated. He has no authority. He cannot ask for you any longer. He cannot come after you any longer. He cannot go and try to cause you calamity. He cannot do those things. The only thing Satan can do is talk in your ear. The only thing he can do is try to deceive you, try to trick you, to where you never, the whole point he's trying to do is that you never realize who you really are. If he can keep you distracted, keep you focused on things that don't matter, keep you focused on things that keep you looking down instead of looking up, then he's winning the battle. Come here, Gail. I want to show this to you. This is the picture. Gail's just walking down the street. And she's just having a good day, and she's not really thinking about nothing. And here comes the enemy, and he starts to whisper, and he said, "Man, your husband is a turkey." Right? No, see what she did right there? She got in. Okay, you're beating my point. Yeah, you can't agree yet. Come here. She has the choice. As the enemy is whispering, Don't agree. Okay, let's use something else. I'll use something else that I know you won't agree with, right? Your dog, Shyla, is such a jerk. Right? Your dog, that dog just is always barking, just always wanting to chew on things, always wanting to pee on the floor. Right? Right? See what he's doing? And she has the choice right here to ignore and just to keep on walking in her authority. It's not until she does this. And by the way, your husband, he's such an idiot. He's such a dog. He's such a jerk. And then she goes, "You know what? You're right." And it's that moment that she agrees with the voice that's in her ear. It's when she puts her agreement on what the enemy is speaking to her, then what she does is she enters into a covenant. That is how the enemy gets into your life. He's speaking all the time. Negativity, speaking things into your ear. You need to, you know, that addiction would feel good right now. Boy, you really need a drink right now. Boy, you need some pot. That would really help you out right now. That thing is really calling your name. And as long as you can keep Father and keep in a spirit of worship, right? Stay in His presence, then His words have no benefit and cannot impact or affect you. It's not until you stop focusing on the Father and you start focusing on the enemy and start focusing on the words that you start receiving what He's saying rather than what He's saying. Then what you're doing is you're putting your agreement with what He's saying rather than what He's saying. And what it does is it takes your attention off of Him and puts it on to you. And the next thing you know, He's in and like a canker worm and eating at your life. You can be seated. Thank you, baby. Woo, you looking good, girl. That's the only way the enemy can work in your life. The only thing he can do is try to speak death over you. And it's only at some point you got to do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? When Satan, oh, this is it, I'm done, I'm right here, I'm done. When Satan came to Jesus and spoke in his ear, what did Jesus say back to him? Say it. He spoke the word. He didn't speak his emotions. He didn't get all crazy, upset. Leave me alone! I thought I'd wake somebody up. All he did was take life and speak the word back to the enemy. For it is written. It is. He was tempted three times, and all three times, all that Jesus did is come back with the word. Do you think he did that? Because, you know, the truth is, Jesus could have told him this, shut up. You know you lost. You know this is over. You know why I'm here. You know what's going on. But he wanted to give you an example of what you should be doing for you to be able to overcome these things coming down your life, coming down your highway. So when they're coming down, the first thing you need to do is you need to realize the badge that you're carrying. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb. You're covered by Jesus. You have a badge that represents millions of powerful angels and the very love of God behind you. Number one, that's a reality that you have to walk in to realize, who am I? You're the very blood-bought, blood, oh, I can't even, come on. You are the breath of God, bought by the blood of Jesus. That's who you are. And then you can step into the middle of the highway, whatever that thing is coming down, and you pull out the word of God, and you begin to speak the word. You don't need to speak your emotions. Please leave me alone. I don't want to mess with this thing anymore. Please, God, will you do this? Please, God, will you do that? Please, God, do this. Please, God. God's like, what are you talking? I already did it. All I gave you the word. It's my covenant. So take the word. So this is my homework for you all tonight. This is it. Right now I want you to think of whatever it is in your life that's coming down your freeway, down your highway right now. Whether it be finances or whatever, or addiction or whatever. I want you just to process that. And then I want you to go home tonight and I want you to find three scriptures. That's it. Just three. Three scriptures. And for the next week, all I want you to do is I want you to speak the word over your circumstance. And you see the freedom that'll happen in your life. We're not talking about, I've come up with this word. Religical. I'm not talking about some magic potion and elixir to put magical things on it. That's what some Christians, we've come, if you say this plus this and that equals that and that, that'll happen. That's what I'm talking. I'm just saying, do what Jesus did. Number one, walk in the authority of your identity that is in Him. Number two, speak the word. speak the word. And then lastly, number three, put on a spirit of gratefulness and get into his presence with worship. And I promise you this, if you'll try what I'm telling you, those three things, you wake up in the morning, you put worship on. I know it sounds silly, it's just music. But just I'm just helping you start somewhere. Just put on worship. Worship can be more than just music. I realize that. I'm just getting you into an understanding of something. Just put on worship. And just get into his presence. Speak the word. Understand your identity. And worship him. And I promise you that you can look back at this. You can come to your pastor and tell him you have seen an overwhelming amount of freedom in your life. I'm not going to do some emotional altar call here. It's just homework. How many of y'all believe what I'm saying will work? How many of y'all are willing to try it tonight? You guys, none of you guys? Okay, that's good. Okay. I'm just messing with you. I'm going to end with this song. And I picked it specifically to end with. this last CD that we did, I intentionally went a different direction. I like country music and I like fun country music that you can put in your car, jam to. I like it. But I wanted to create a Christian country worship CD. And so that's what this new CD is. And I want to speak to someone tonight that is dealing with something that's coming down your highway that just seems too much. I want you to know that what I'm teaching you is not some simple thing. Make it too easy, too simple. But if we could just get back to the simplicity of the beauty of the word and just put it into application, make it applicable in our life, it really does work. I've been through hell in my life, mostly of my own doing. But some things have happened to me as well. And I'm not here to make light of whatever it is that you're going through. My heart aches and breaks for people that are struggling every day. And I know that some of you is everything you could do just to get here tonight. And I want you to know that the Father's heart is all he wants is your attention. Because he has got a place for you of freedom. I have this song, and my dad served in Vietnam. That's why I wear this bracelet. And he was addicted to Royal Crown while he was over there, and whiskey. And it's how he dealt with all the things that he saw over there. And he came home addicted. And my God set him free. And to this day, my father, like I said before, is my greatest hero. How he could change a little boy's life, you can never take that away from me, what he did in my dad's life. And I realized that there were other men that came home from Vietnam, and they were never able to overcome that. And I just want to speak grace to you and love on you tonight. That if you're going through that addiction or you're going through something, it just seems to be able to bind you up. I want to speak freedom to you. And I want to sing this song. It's called A Different Kind of Crown.
He had nails in his hands. I just had a bottle in mine. He paid for my sins. I just paid a bar tab every night. Still I felt sorry for myself till the day I set that shot glass down and saw things clear through my bloodshot eyes. Well, I still get high, but without the lows. This addiction that I have now ain't in the glass, it's in my soul. And I'm on fire, but it ain't the whiskey burn. Hey, I'm still thirsty, but it ain't that kind of thirst. Oh, heaven knows, I don't need that stuff now. Since the good Lord saved me with a different kind of crown. Hey, now I'm baptized, I'm brand new. Sunday in the church pew is where I'll be. Now the only time I ever drink is a sip of wine once a week to remember how he shed his blood and died for me. Will I still get high? But without the Lord, this addiction that I have now ain't in the glass, it's in my soul. And I'm on fire, but it ain't the whiskey burn. Hey, I'm still thirsty, but it ain't that kind of thirst. Oh, heaven knows, I don't need that stuff now. Since the good Lord saved me, yeah, he saved me with a different kind of crown. Yeah, different kind of crown. He had nails in his hands. I just had a bottle. God bless you. I speak freedom over you in Jesus' name. Thank y'all for having me tonight.
Praise God. Come on. Let Johnny know you love him. I tell you, he's so good. Ushers, come on. Ushers, come on. I just had in my heart, maybe it's my imagination, I think I know the difference, but I just had in my imagination Johnny and Gail traveling and the thousands of dads out there that could be reached, that would change the lives of thousands of children. You didn't get it. I'm going to try it one more time. I tell you, that kind of ministry. Now, some of you, you're cooler than, well, you're not as cool as you think, but you think you're not country. You're in denial. You're in denial. And this kind of ministry reaches men and women. But I thought of the thousands of dads that are out there. Look, his dad went through Vietnam. I think of the thousands of dads that have been through all those things. And if they can be reached with the gospel, how many understand thousands and thousands of children's lives can be changed by reaching the dads? It's true. If the dads can be reached, the whole family can be affected. And moms as well. I'm not denying the power of her mother. I mean, he wouldn't be here today probably if the power of his praying mom. And I'll tell you tonight, I'm not... When they come, when the Rowlets come, they don't come asking for anything, just an opportunity to minister. So, but But I need you to know, and I don't want to embarrass them, they've sold everything. We can talk about how we sacrificed, but I feel embarrassed when I get around people like this because they've sold everything they own, bought a camper, and live in that so that they can go anywhere, anytime to preach the gospel of Christ. Maine, even Prince Edward Island. Isn't that awesome? So they're in essence, you know, they've really given everything so that they can share what God has given to them. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I just love being around pure-hearted people. I just like being around people who don't have an agenda except to bless the people. And so tonight, I want us to give. I want to give because I want to reach another dad that will change the life of another family. I want to see another mom whose life is changed because of the ministry. And God has a thousand different types of ministry, and this is one of them, which I personally favor a great deal. And I'm so excited about the future of what God's going to do with you guys. And how many of you think it'd be all right if Johnny and Gail came back to Charleston real, real soon? Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts tonight. You're a generous God. You've been so generous to us. Lord, we just love being generous back to you. God, these seeds that we sow tonight are going into harvest. Men and women's lives, children's lives changed. Ministries changed and encouraged. God, we know that the greatest day of this ministry that we've been receiving from tonight is still ahead. God, I pray protection upon Johnny and Gail as they travel. As they travel the roads, thousands and thousands of miles every year, they're going to be safe every single mile they travel. God, you're going to provide every need that they have. Even more than that, you're going to oversupply every need, God, so that they're ready, can go anywhere, anytime, without any pressure, without any kind of demand. Lord, they're just able, and you supernaturally take care of them. I pray that. I pray this year there's a supernatural protection and supernatural provision and obviously supernatural results for the ministry. We thank you for it, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen, amen. And amen. God bless you as you give. Hey, if I asked Johnny to sing one more song, would you stay for it? What about that old Mustang? Will you sing that old Mustang? Don't you leave for a minute. This is my favorite song. I'll be mad if you do. All right? And you go, well, I got to go to the bathroom. There's one right around the door. See Mike right there? There's a bathroom right near him. You can get there quick. All right? Come on, Johnny. Come on. I like old cars and fast cars. And I don't think we got the video for all that. But you know the words. You know the words. Let Johnny know you love him, would you please?
Somebody say, yee-haw! I sure appreciate it. I'll tell you real quickly this song, this story of this song real quick is that my dad got a hold of this old Mustang and asked to restore it, and he got kind of tired of doing it, and he asked me to come down and help him restore this old Mustang. We spent a solid month doing that, and it rolled, about the time we got done, it rolled up outside, and I saw the light of day hit it, and I started proclaiming loudly, "That's me! That's me. That car is me." And my dad's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I'm like this. That's what God did for me, man. He took out the old and put in the new. I'm not the same guy. He saw value in me. He saw my end from my beginning, and he saw that I was worth the restoration process." And I want you to know tonight, as you're sitting here, as you listen to this song, God is in the restoration business. Let's do it. This is my first number one song in Christian country music. We're so grateful for the song. Through the dust and the grime and the dirt and time, you can see all the miles and years. The pain is faded, it barely made, it could bring a man to tear. Well, the dents and the dings and the rusty rings hide what she used to be. Well, she may be nothing but junk to you, but she sure looks good to me. Well, the tires are flat, suspension's jacked from the rough roads in her past. Yeah, the motor's blown cause her rods are thrown, and she used to be so fast. All the cracks and the pits and the windshield chips make it really hard to see. Well, she may be nothing but a mess to you, but she means a world. Tired hole, maybe broken. Come on. Mustang's gonna run. Oh, and someday this Mustang is gonna run. Listen, this ain't what she was created for, what she was supposed to be. But with the love and restoration, she will finally be free. Oh, this tired heart may be broken, and you think her life is done. But me, I see so much more. One day I know she'll be restored. And partner, that old Mustang is gonna run. Oh, and someday this Mustang is gonna run. Hey, come on, we do a little Tuesday. I think I broke something. I think somewhere along the way in writing this song, I wanted people to realize this car, this song is not about a car. It's about me, man. It's about what God did for me. He didn't quit on me. He didn't give up on me. Come on. So I wrote this last verse to my friends.
Check this out. I'm withered and worn, tattered and torn from the miles and the years. My heart is jaded, my mind is faded, I shed a lot of tears. Well, the scars and the pain and the guilt and shame show who I used to be.
Well, I may look like a mess to you, but he's still got plans for me. This tired heart may be broken, and it may. This old Mustang is gonna run. Oh, and someday this Mustang is gonna run. Yeah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and watch me run. Hey.
Let's stand together. Let's stand together. The only reason I'd like that song more is it was a Trans Am. This old Trans Am's gonna run. All right. Hang on just a minute. I want Gail to be able to get out to the table. And Johnny and Gail want to get to meet you and shake your hand and get some material in your hands. So if you hold tight for just 1 minute. Again, 2 weeks, Tiff Shuttlesworth will be with us. We're going to have a fantastic day. How many are ready for God to do a wonderful work for you this week? Amen. Lord, I pray your blessing upon everybody here tonight and online. Give us a week of tremendous victory. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.